This episode of the Android Central podcast is brought to you by ShopAndroid.com. Save 10% on your entire order by using the coupon code AC10, that's AC10, at checkout.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the Android Central podcast. It is episode number 215 for Friday, December 19th, 2014. However, today is not Friday when we're recording this because we're kind of getting into the crazy holiday schedule already. So at the last minute, we decided, let's go early this week. So we're going to record this on Wednesday and release it, you know, sort of on Friday. Unless you're smart, you know where to find the video ahead of time, I guess. So happy Hanukkah to everybody who observes. Merry Christmas to everybody who's getting ready for that. Oh, that includes me. My kids are insane right now. Jerry, your kids are always kind of driving you nuts, right?
Oh, always. It gets worse when they get older, Phil, because they've learned how to drive you nuts and do it on purpose.
And nuts in a good way, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Did you guys see I don't think I showed you the whole video, but I did a GIF of my kid at a holiday party with a bouncy house, and she's like running into the corners like she's in the damn WWE and knocking herself out. Craziest 4-year-old ever. I wish I was
in that bouncy castle with her.
Oh my god.
Because that looked fun as hell.
She loved it. She loves those things. Like, asked about it for days beforehand. Can we go to the bouncy house? Can we go to the bouncy house? Yes. So, it's been a while since we did this, I guess. We skipped the podcast last week. I forget why. Why did we skip it last week? There's just nothing going on.
Phil said, let's skip the podcast.
That's true. I mean, and
there, to be fair, there wasn't a whole lot to talk about either.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's been kind of slow. Who's that behind me? Oh, is that Christian Bale?
Yeah. Some other
bearded man. It's like, oh my god, there's somebody listening. I turned on the TV behind me so the Nexus player would go. So hey, by the way, since we're starting this off, thanks to everybody who's voted in our year-end awards. Those are open for a few more days, I think, even after this podcast comes out. And we're doing Santa Phil as well, because I've been kind of stockpiling stuff the past couple months. And I need to order a Nexus tablet. I'll just order a couple extras and we'll give some away. So we're giving away a whole bunch of stuff. So congrats to all the winners. We probably won't announce them all until next week, I think, until they're all in. I haven't even started picking them yet. I'll make somebody else pick them, I think. But giving away a whole bunch of cool stuff. So if that's still open by the time you listen to this podcast, awesome. Go enter. Kind of not crazy about the way we did that a little bit, the rafflecopter thing. I'm not sure I'll keep using that. Some ways it worked well, but some ways it didn't.
So, we'll see. That's a little weird.
Yeah. Because I've had people just like tweeting random things at me. It didn't quite work. So
more than usual.
More than usual, yeah. So we'll see. So what should we do Android-wise? It's been kind of a slow 2 weeks as far as the news goes anyway. I mean, Android Wear got its big update to 5.0.1. I finally got it. I sideloaded it on the ZenWatch.
You're so 3 days behind.
I know. And I think my 360, I'm switching back to the 360. I need to do like a best update to the best watches thing, but those two are definitely the best ones. I have a hard time picking between them, but I'm going to switch back to the 360 for a little while, and it just started getting the update as I put it back on, but it's so slow to download. I mean, Jerry, do we know what it's actually doing? Is it... I assume it downloads to the phone first, and then, I mean, it has to.
Yeah.
It shoots it over Bluetooth.
I don't know if it downloads the whole thing to the phone first. It doesn't have to, but that's what it does. And the phone's doing the downloading, and it's
right.
Transferring it over to the watch.
I imagine, like, I mean, the Sony watch has Wi-Fi built into it, but it doesn't actually do anything yet. I mean, I guess that's something...
Right, Android Wear doesn't actually support it yet.
Yeah.
You don't want your watch to use Wi-Fi to download 300 megabytes of stuff from the internet when you have a Bluetooth low energy connection that could
even if it's plugged in, like you could do it.
Well, if it's plugged in, that's different. But
I mean, because that's kind of the exact sort of thing that you know we talk about with all these battery saving things and apps and
these are not standalone devices. So I don't think having the watch being able to download it on its own is a necessary component.
I mean, having it seamlessly just prompt you, you hit the checkbox, and then it just kind of does its thing, and reboot is far more on a watch. I mean, for me, I just took mine off the charger, and it had the little old system update notification. I hit it, and it was installed by the time I left the house 5 minutes later. So
I don't have any updates on any of my watches yet, and I'm going to wait for the OTA to see how long it takes.
Well, we've talked about this any number of times with phones, and it's the exact same thing. The Moto 360 has gotten at least 2 updates.
Yep.
So, you know, things happen. They find bugs, so there's shame in waiting.
Yeah, there's a rumor there was some sort of issue with non-Latin text characters.
Yeah, okay.
So that's a pretty big bug. Stop one and push out the other.
It happens. Ooh, somebody's calling me. I don't know who it is.
But switching to Android 5.0.1 or whatever it is on the watch isn't as important as the new watch face API and pretty much 3 interface changes. I mean, it doesn't really matter what version it's running underneath.
Yeah, so for better or for worse, and I think we all know how I feel about this, it now syncs up with the priority notifications. Great. Okay. So now I have this thing that might or might not give me all the notifications that it's...
I mean, I understand why it does it. So what happens is when you change your phone from all priority or none, assuming that you have a phone that's running Lollipop,
right,
the exact same thing happens on the connected watch.
And vice versa. You can do it on the watch.
And vice versa, which is the more confusing part. So I understand the idea of my phone's in my pocket. I, pull up in the watch and I can silence both the phone and the watch. Like, don't buzz, don't talk to me anymore. But there are a lot of situations in which you want your watch to not be buzzing on your wrist and bothering you, but you still want to get notifications on your phone. And that's not possible anymore.
Did they take out, I haven't looked, did they take out the option or reverse it or do anything weird? There was the option in the Android Wear app to have it only, say, buzz your wrist and then turn off the notifications on the phone.
Yeah, that option of mute connected phone is still in the settings, but it's ignored if you're running Lollipop on the phone, which it doesn't tell you that. It just doesn't work. So that's the interesting thing. If you have a Lollipop watch connected to a KitKat or Jelly Bean phone, you get the standard swipe down and just mutes the watch, and you can still do the mute connected phone and everything. It just doesn't tell you that there's a difference, which... I guess makes sense because most people only have one phone, but it doesn't make a whole lot of sense if you're switching back and forth with any regularity.
Hey, everybody listening, do you still got to have that update right away?
Man, I mean, I know from time to time I've been accused of accepting change far more willingly than perhaps I should, but I just don't like this new notification stuff at all. It's just not good.
I was messing around. Well, so I have Lollipop on the Moto X, which uses its own Moto system, and I just continued to use that for silencing at different times. But I just jumped into the interruptions sound settings last night just to look at it more, and it is really confusing still.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's no easy way to figure out what is and isn't going to make noise, what is and isn't going to vibrate. When you have priority notifications on, you're still getting media sounds. The whole phone doesn't silence. And if it's confusing to you and me and the people listening to this podcast, it's really confusing to people who just randomly got it on their Nexus 5 or Nexus 4.
And it still feels pretty buggy, too. There are times that I know I set it to priority, and it kicks back into all. Like, I've seen it happen over and over, actually.
I get the feeling that it's like these two teams at Google aren't communicating very well with each other, because, make no mistake, the Nexus 6, and we're going to just focus on that right now, is definitely a consumer device.
Mm-hmm.
When I can go down to US Cellular and buy a Nexus 6 on contract, it's a consumer device. But notifications are a great example. It seems like the team is, all right, let's get an API that can control all these things. We've nailed that. The user interface, it's a mess, but we'll fix it later. Just push it.
And I actually like the way it was designed in the dev preview more, where it was an option in the expanded quick settings to silence your phone, and that was completely separate from just the volume control. So it was actually surfaced to people that there's an option to mute your phone for X number of hours, versus if you don't hit the volume button and know what those buttons do, you'll never see priority all none. You won't even know it's there. And that's kind of the problem, is it's going back to more hidden features, which they kind of got away from that with deprecating the menu button and, you know, larger initiatives like that.
I think I've written this more than once. I mean, it feels like an engineering solution to a problem that might or might not have existed. It's not a consumer solution. This is not something I want to have to teach my mom how to do.
Right, and I mean, it's even more confusing if you're somebody that's coming from having an iPhone that has that, you know, hardware switch on the side.
Don't get me started on that. That is, look, I mean, my first phone was a Trio 750, and that's back when things worked right. I mean, we can go back and find old podcasts of Dieter railing about this from years ago.
The three things it could do were done well.
Yes.
There's your issue. It could do three or four things very, very well. Now we're trying to do millions of things.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not and Jerry and I were moaning earlier. We saw, far be it from us to do that. You're starting to see these rumors of 5.1 coming out in February, which is certainly not out of the realm of possibility.
Well, duh, another version is going to come. They're not going to give up on Android. Well, of course not.
Yeah, and I mean, it wouldn't be the first time we've seen, you know, really quick semi-major updates like that. But, you know, all of the supposed changes in this unsourced, anonymous, whatever crap, but the very first one was adds a mute function back. And I'm like, yes! I'm not even going to say where I read this because it's just crap.
And that would be a very small victory to be able to just go sound, vibrate, and then a complete mute. But really, if they want to do it, if they want to do it the way that they're going to, you know, the way that they're pointing in the direction of doing all this priority stuff, then they need to go all the way with that and not cop out by just giving them a mute function does not fix the fact that this whole priority thing is completely busted. It just gives you one more option that you can't find.
I still think that, you know, and I might be being unfair, but it just feels like the people that are in charge of this small part, they made it so it's really good for HTC, LG, Samsung to use the code and build out their notification system in a way that everybody would like, but they didn't focus on a way to make it what's there easy to use for everyone else.
Well, you're assuming they don't, you know, HTC and LG and you know, Motorola kept it stock, and that's not a surprise, but...
Well, I will guarantee you that Samsung at a minimum will not give you what we have now for notification priority system. There's no way. And that's a good thing. It, you know, as bad as it is now, we don't want it on every phone. But I'll
hold you to it.
On that note, I'm disappointed in Motorola because Motorola had a system that worked a little better and kind of abandoned it in a couple ways for stock Google. And I get a feeling maybe that was done just so we can say, first, get it out the door, done, done, done.
But then they had to leave all the Google parts in there, and they overlap.
Yep. But they didn't have to leave all the Google parts in there.
Sure thing. Just like you were saying before with Smart Lock and Trusted Bluetooth,
right.
So much overlap there, and it kind of gets weird.
Yep.
Yeah, and what was the one weird screen? That the do not disturb function, I forget Google's name for it.
Interruptions or yeah, downtime.
Yeah. Downtime. Yeah, how it all but conflicts with Motorola's, and they're like, hey, these things might not play nicely together. Good luck.
Instead of writing a tooltip, they should have just removed one of them.
Yeah, just pick one. I mean, it shouldn't be that tough to do.
I don't think anyone.
Wait, hit the brake. It shouldn't be. We don't know how tough it is.
No, that's true.
Right.
Well, the biggest thing is that I don't think anybody was complaining about the way that Motorola did it before.
Absolutely not. It was perfect.
So they definitely added additional complications.
No, and I get why it's there. It's an integral part of the notification system in stock Lollipop. But
well, and now we see it with Android Wear. It's integrated there too. So
yes, great.
it's very deep.
Oy. I don't mean to be so down on all this because I think, you know, the vast majority of Lollipop is a good thing.
And this will get better, and this is the one time that I'm not very happy that HTC, Samsung, and LG are working so fast to update. I would rather see better updates next February than rushing updates out in December. And that's I'm worried about that.
I'm going to say something I know I'm going to regret, but I'm going to ask the question anyway. Is this honeycomb all over again? Or are we not anywhere near that bad?
I think it's Jelly Bean 4.1.
No, I think this is one of the... Man, I hate to say the word worst, but this is one of the buggiest options that we do not like, options removed that we did, updates that we've seen in a while. And that's, you know, they have a new vision and they're changing the way they do things. And I just don't think the transition from KitKat to Jelly Bean was as easy as it could have been.
Actually, I think it's like Jelly Bean 4.1 in that we're going to see two successive major updates like Jelly Bean. This isn't we need 0.0.x. releases. We need full point releases like Jelly Bean did and add and remove major features going from 4.1.
Right. I just wrote a thing about some of the bugs in Lollipop and I compared it to Gingerbread and that was wrong. In retrospect, I should have not compared it to Gingerbread because all Gingerbread needed was point updates to fix things and 2.3.1 was almost as good as 2.3.6. Whereas I think Lollipop is going to need a bigger platform update to a 5.1.
I guess you could even look at it a little bit like Ice Cream Sandwich because a lot of what changed was a complete rethinking of the interface, not just design, but the way that everything interacted, and it's going to take a big point release to get higher.
When you change the way the user interacts with the software dramatically, that's going to change a lot of the back end too, how it works. So, I mean, these two things go hand in hand. If you give the user an option he never had before, you need to make that option actually do something in the code.
And so, I don't think it's going to be as bad as Honeycomb, and I surely hope that they don't give up on this idea because I think it's much better than Honeycomb was. Part of the issue with Honeycomb was tablets being just such a dumpster fire, but I think that this is salvageable, whereas Honeycomb... They couldn't really salvage much of that idea.
Well, certainly Google's not going to give up. Google makes too much money. Even if they don't care about us, they make so much money, they're going to continue. I didn't say they didn't. I said even if they didn't.
And I don't mean to seem so down on it because I'm really not. I would say, 90% of my experience right now with the Moto X and the Nexus 6 and the Nexus 9 is pretty good. That 10% is a really annoying 10%, I think. Well, I mean, Jerry, we had you do a post about, potentially some ways to fix things you're seeing.
And that the first thing we need to realize is that there are people out there that have it a whole lot worse than you and I.
Yes.
There definitely are phones out there that just randomly reboot. A lot of people on Sprint can't get a phone call or send a text on the Nexus 6. These are real issues that we don't see, but that doesn't mean they're not out there. And if that's you, I'm sorry that we say it's 90% good, but for us it is something that I could use daily. But like you said, that last 10%, it's kind of rough, and a lot of that there's no way to fix. You can't do a little hackery thing while your phone's plugged in and wipe the cache and fix things like the notifications.
So what are some of the things that you think you can do to maybe clean things up? I mean, a simple reboot kind of tends to take care of it for me. I've had to reboot, the Nexus 9 at least once every couple days.
I think that there is a real issue for people that got an OTA on older Nexus devices from KitKat and up. And I really think I would recommend everybody out there read our post or anywhere, somebody that teaches you how to go into the recovery and wipe your device cache. Not just clear all the cache from all your apps, mm-hmm. because the system cache, it's supposed to clear out all that old stuff so it can be replaced with new stuff, but I have a very confidence feeling that it's not doing it. Because people that have done that, a lot of them say it's like night and day difference. So if you've got an OTA update, don't be afraid to wipe your device cache. It doesn't delete any apps or any of your data or anything. It just deletes the cache. Another thing, and I hate to say it, is the factory reset. If wiping the cache doesn't do it, you might have something in the data partition hanging around that just is not necessarily causing a conflict, but not working as well as it should. And when you have one part of your system not working like it should be, that can affect other parts too. So you want to get in there and you want to kill it with extreme prejudice, and that's a device wipe and restart. And they fixed Google Play Music, so you don't have to be afraid to do it, even if you have to do it 10 times. Just get in there and back up your SD card and erase your SD card, because there's data on there too. And only put back the stuff you need, pictures, videos, music. And just start from scratch. And that has helped a lot of people. Unfortunately, there are also a lot of people that just didn't help. And I'm not sure what the solution is there.
What about the encryption? Because you and I were talking about that some yesterday. Well, and we've seen posts in that in the past and how just writing to the writing to the storage is just slower, right. Which makes sense.
I'm going to write I hate to use the word idiot's guide to how encryption works.
No, I like that because I'm an idiot.
So that's going to be up there. What's happening is every piece of data you're writing to the system and every piece of data you're reading from the system is decrypted and encrypted on the fly in real time. That's so only authorized users and applications can read that data. In other words, if I set my phone down and the lock screen goes up, and Phil picks it up and does not enter my password, there's nothing, even if he can get all that data, there's nothing he can do with it because it's encrypted. When you're doing that, especially on a device that's still 32-bit, it taxes the heck out of the processor because it's doing it so often and so much. That could lead to issues with your battery. My biggest concern is the Nexus 9 has hardware to encrypt and decrypt, and it's built into the chipset, and it sounds almost like it's not being used because people say that it's just as slow on the Nexus 9 as it is on the Nexus 6. So I don't know exactly what's going on there, but the short version, if your phone is decrypted, it's much safer, but it's also going to be slower reading and writing. Is it going to be slow enough to affect your normal use? I don't know. That's going to depend on what you can tolerate and how you use your phone.
Now, to be clear, you're not flat out saying it's not being used on that, right? We're not sure yet.
We're not sure. It runs so slow and choppy that part of me wants to think that we're not using the hardware. And another thing that's based on a lot of other people telling me it's slow and choppy. I see exactly what I would expect, a little bit slower read and write times because it's encrypted. And I don't have a lot of concern with it, but other people aren't as tolerant as I am for that. For me, it's a good trade-off. This is much safer. Sure, it's a little slower.
Do you think that's what I've been seeing when I say the animations feel a little slow?
Maybe. I almost think that they've made the animations a little slower to cover up for it,
mm-hmm.
which is what Apple does, and it's not a bad idea. It's just not implemented smooth enough that our eye sees something weird.
It's historically what Windows Phone does, too.
Right.
And they can make a device that's super low-end, feel smooth, right. Just because it's kind of slower.
You just maybe somebody needs to tweak those animations so they look a little better, and we won't think that they feel so weird. Because I agree, they seem like they're weird and slow, artificially weird and slow. So maybe those just need tweaked. I don't know how you fix this unless you give the user an option to turn off encryption and tell them what the risks are of doing that. And right now, to do that on the Nexus 6 or the Nexus 9, you have to depend on somebody else writing you a boot image, or unless you're capable of doing it yourself, and flashing a boot image that disables decryption on your device, which, I don't know, as much as people seem to be up in arms about Carrier IQ and the NSA, I mean, is that really the way we want to go and disable the encryption that we screamed for and now we were given?
It's never good enough, Jerry.
No, I know. I don't know. It's one of those things that there's no easy solution, and I'm glad that it's Google's problem to fool with and not mine.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll do some Q&A. How about that?
Cool. And then my head can cool down.
Yeah, I want us to, like, get happy and quit.
Yes, you made me think too hard.
I know. Sorry. All right, we'll be right back. Okay, folks, we're in the two-week holiday stretch as we head into the new year, and that means we've all got a little extra time in our hands. And that means there's no better time to learn a new thing or three from lynda.com. Now, if you've been living under a rock, Lynda, that's L-Y-N-D-A, is an easy and affordable way to help you learn. You can instantly stream thousands of courses created by experts on software, web development, graphic design, and more. If you've ever wanted to get into Android development, this is a place to start. Now, new courses are added daily, so you're always up in the latest versions of your favorite software. The easy-to-follow, high-quality tutorials are from professionals in their fields, so you know you're getting the right information and you know it's going to look good. And Lynda has courses for all levels of experience, whether you're just getting started or if you're looking for some more advanced tips. So when I need help figuring out that one little feature in Photoshop that has me so frustrated, I just head right to Lynda and then I'm back to work in a few minutes. And for one low monthly price of $25, you get unlimited access to more than 100,000 video tutorials. And you can try all of Lynda's courses free for 7 days. Just go to lynda.com/androidcentral. That's lynda.com/androidcentral. Learn all the things. I want to know who it was who called me earlier. Isn't it 2014? Are we supposed to like be able to see all the phone numbers as they come in now?
Unless somebody blocks them.
Yeah. CES time. It's probably PR. Mm-hmm.
Ugh. I've gotten like 15 emails since we started.
I use call blocker apps, and if you try to block your caller ID, I automatically answer and hang up on you, so you don't even get a chance to leave a voicemail.
3 weeks from today, we will be smack in the middle of CES in Vegas.
Oh, I got to refill the vodka in my water cooler.
Yeah. I mean, the funny thing is for us, like after Monday, it's all but over. I mean, we'll have a little bit left.
I'll give you till Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, especially after Tuesday. You know, we'll have odd meetings here and there, but like Sunday and Monday, or especially Monday, because it's media day. It's just insane. And
we after even that, have something like, on Saturday when we get in.
Yeah, actually,
the show doesn't start till the show floor doesn't open till Monday. We got events on Saturday.
It's insane. Yeah, I don't get there till.
Ha ha.
I forget when. Okay, let's do some Q&A as soon as I find it. There it is. Ooh, Ryan has a really good question, and we need to talk about this for a few minutes, actually. How exciting is Pebble with Android Wear compatibility? That's actually really damn exciting, I think.
Fishing for my Pebble out of the drawer here.
Yeah, I need to put my Pebble Steel back together.
But this is a perfect example of why people like me are using Android, because it's an open platform.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could build a clock radio that integrates with Android Wear if you wanted to. And Pebble jumped on there and did it quickly, and good for them.
And they kind of have to, right? I mean, if they all want to stay relevant.
If you
want to
be pessimistic, but there are still a lot of people who have tried both, and Pebble is the better solution for them because it's simpler and just does what they want. And
I still see a ton of Pebbles out there.
Well, and especially battery life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't beat that. That's the number one thing I tell anybody who's asking about these watches is, look, you're going to have to charge it every night. Doesn't matter. You're going to have to charge it every night. It's, you know.
Yeah, so now you can get that, and it will also properly listen for notifications, and you won't have to, you know, you won't have to be so limited. And that's kind of was the goal for Android Wear, right, is having this system of notification listening and two-way notification sync to let, you know, all devices, not just, you know, quote-unquote Android Wear watches.
Right. To handle it. It's for wearables, not just watches.
And not True. Just not and not just watches running Android.
Yep. It's it's done really well. I mean, it's most of the hard work is done by the app developer for the phone itself. If you do it right for your phone running KitKat or Lollipop, it sort of just works for Android Wear. So, cool.
Yeah, I mean, and let's make sure we're you know, defining terms here. The Pebble is not running Android Wear all the time.
No, it just can grab the notifications through a notification listener, and you can act on them a little bit. Yeah.
Which previously it had to use accessibility settings to listen to notifications and pull them in, and you got no two-way control.
But it's great that somebody at Pebble was paying close enough attention, and they say, okay, now Lollipop is consumer-ready for the most part. It's out there. Boom, we need to make this change, this change, this change, and we are ready to roll. And they did it.
And it's a good proof that they're nimble and they're working on things where you kind of had a bad feeling about the way that, you know, it was going with the newly designed app not running well, and all the app store being kind of funky. This is a good little bit of confidence boosting for sure.
And a lot of the stuff we didn't really think was so amazing. You have to remember Pebble has to run for other platforms besides Android too. You know, it's got really good Apple support, and I know Windows support is in the works on some level. So maybe they needed to have an app store. Even if they didn't need to have it for Android devices, it needed to happen. And they can only go up. I'm glad that they didn't just roll over and give up and die.
Arf, arf.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry.
Arf, arf, hooray for Pebble.
There's birds in the yard. Dogs, they just kill me.
Let's see. Jake asks, do you think Samsung should create a pure Android smartphone, or are they heading in the right direction with TouchWiz and Tizen? No, I don't think they should, actually.
Why would they? Again, other than Google Play Edition to get early access to code if they want that.
But Samsung is interested in their bottom line. Like every other company in the world, sure, they've not made the ultra billions that they've made in the years past, but they're still making billions of dollars. They don't need to alter their formula drastically.
And there's a lot of stuff in their, you know, tablets and phones that is really good, you know, feature-wise. A lot of it I don't use, but there's a lot of it that's really well done. So.
And if you look on the internet, it's interesting. People fight about Samsung. You have one side saying Samsung only sells because they spend money in marketing. No. I couldn't market something that you didn't want so well that you would buy it anyway.
Buy the next generation.
Right. These millions of people that are buying Samsung phones and tablets are buying them because they like them.
It's twofold. It goes back to, you know, I probably told the story before, like all the other stories I tell. But I remember, the newspaper said, look, we could sell as many newspapers as we want. You know, a lot of it has to do with marketing, right? The more money we put into marketing, the more we're going to sell. At the same time, you still have to have a good product. If the product sucks, then nobody's going to buy it.
Right. Especially they're not going to buy the second time.
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing is people love the Galaxy S4 so much, they bought the Galaxy S5. That's not marketing. That's they like what Samsung is giving them. So
it's both.
I disagree. Me and you are going to have to just disagree.
Duncan asked, do you think we'll see a return of the 5-inch flagship phone in 2015, or should we resign ourselves to 5.5 and larger phones if we want top specs? I still think it's got to hit the ceiling at some point, right? I mean, you can't just keep going bigger.
The interesting thing will be, does Motorola go past 5.2 on there, which they've kind of still been the champion of the slightly smaller, I wouldn't even say small, slightly smaller flagship phone.
They don't need to
Motorola and Sony.
Well, I mean, but they don't need to. You've got a Nexus 6.
Well, they still went from 4.3 to 5.2 knowing that they were making the Nexus 6. Or not 4.3, 4.7.
I just doomed us all to bigger phones again, didn't I?
I hope they do something, but I don't think so. I don't think we're there yet. I think we're going to see phones in the 7-inch range and little things like that HTC doodad you have.
Mm-hmm.
That's a controller and a thing to use to talk on the phone with.
Where is it? Here it is.
I think that's where we're going to go even more before we head back.
If you haven't seen this before, I forget the name of it. It's like the HTC One Plus or something.
Mini Plus,
yeah. So it's a Bluetooth phone, and it's tiny. It's this big. Here it is next to the.
Here it is
next to the HTC One. Yeah, I mean it's.
They should make that as an Android phone. I would buy it.
I bought it just because it was ridiculous, and it's actually really nicely designed.
I'd love to put a SIM card in that for some short periods.
Well, it doesn't have to look like that. Look what Motorola has done with the Moto Hint, which it had a few problems, but it's the right idea.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to use a phone that's a little bit bigger. Leave it in your purse or your briefcase or your pocket, and you can use this.
Yeah, my only problem with this is that it just sounds like crap. If the call quality was better, and I like the idea. I like the idea of I'm in my house, and I don't want to carry this giant Nexus 6 around here. So here's how big it is compared to the Nexus 6. Right, I don't want to carry this giant phone around in my pocket all day.
And so Samsung's kind of on that same track with doing the screen sharing stuff between the tablets and the phones, and doing the content sharing between tablets, phones, TVs, whatever.
And with its watches.
It's, take the screen size that's most appropriate for now, and it will have, the information, not even screen size, form factor that's appropriate for what you want to do now, and have the content move between the devices.
They need to expand a little bit more on their wearable platform, because the Gear S would be an excellent way to constantly keep your big phone or your tablet out of your pocket and be able to act a little bit on the things that you get notified about on the Gear S.
Mm-hmm.
Brian asks, is the Nexus 7 still the best budget under $250 Android tablet? They aren't on the Play Store, but they are available on Amazon.
How much is the Shield tablet, Andrew?
$299 retail.
The Nexus 7 is the best under $250.
It's quite a bit more still. And Nexus 7 2013 is pretty much a $199 product at this point. Which, God, it's not a fantastic tablet, but I still use it regularly, and it's still the one that's on my nightside table, and it gets used every night. So I guess there's something to be said for that.
Yep. And if it's $50 more, I would tell everybody to get the Shield tablet instead. But $50 is $50. The Nexus 7 is probably good enough for most anybody.
Yeah, and right now we're talking about, even if you pay retail for the Nexus 7, you're still, you're $70, which, when you're talking about $229 versus $299, $70 is a big percentage jump. And I don't think I know of anything else that's around that $200 price point that kind of performs better than the price like the Nexus 7 does.
Flipping through the questions here, Ryan Saldana needs to go back to work or something. Wow, dude. Is this Alex guy standing next to you or something? Jeez. Man. I'm just going to make it worse, aren't I?
Yep. You know what to do, Ryan and Alex.
No! That's exactly what I would do.
I'd just be exactly better if it was actually Alex Doby just trolling the podcast.
It might well be. What else is going on? Oh! I got a new toy. So I got the official polyurethane cover. So yeah, so this is, I think it's the coral color, because it was the one that was available like right away, and I'm fine with it, whatever. So yeah, it's kind of salmon-y. Normally when I see something like this, I'm a little afraid of it because I see corners and I know that means origami, but really, folding this to prop it up is just trying to do it standing up, so it's a little weird, but it's just that simple.
Oh, it has magnets in it.
Yeah, so it has magnets, and then that's one of the ways it sits up. So it's actually really simple. I'm curious to see, because I haven't traveled with it yet, and that's the big question with these magnets, is how this will hold up when it's in my gear bag, just flopping around and stuff.
And the question is, do you have to do all that crazy origami stuff, or can you just do the trifold thing like every other case does?
It's not crazy origami. It's fold it down, and you're done. That's it. Like, that's the extent
of the trifold. Only has two bends in it.
And so oh,
I mean, it's fewer failing points.
Right.
I mean,
no,
I have this, which is, well, two bends, and you just go like that.
Andrew hates the magic cover.
I just clearly don't appreciate origami. Send me
Andrew email. Was... No, Andrew wasn't with me at the Samsung... did a Samsung tablet briefing last year for all those new Tab S's and Primes and all that.
The Snap-on weird... Yeah.
Yeah, like the snap part was easy, but those things folding was... It was impossible.
They had to include two pages of instructions. So, you know, that's options. Are we the ones to say that don't give the users four different ways to fold your...
Well, and the thing is, everybody kind of panned the Kindle cover that has that weird origami thing because it was kind of tough to use. The Magic cover looks a lot easier, but still, it's, you know, it's everybody trying to reinvent the, you know, the flip cover that Apple does on its iPads that is just two folds and it works perfectly every time.
This is, it's a little more confusing. I'm not even going to say confusing. It's a little more complex, but it's not confusing. Like, I have zero problem doing this. It did help. Yeah, they do give you little diagrams to show you how to do it at first, and that's nice. That's good. But yeah, not a huge deal. So yeah, I mean, it's $40. It's still a little expensive. The outside is polyurethane. The inside is this softer, not quite felt. It's kind of suede. And I keep wanting to do it backwards. And, you know, maybe not the end of the world if I do. And if you flip it around, you know, the magnets hold it to the back as well.
Yeah, that's good.
If you fold down the corner, it automatically launches the camera, for better or worse. So I can take a picture of all you guys right here, even though I'm not going to. You know,
well, that's kind of a neat way to use the...
No, it's really not. Don't take pictures with your tablet.
I just mean having the magnets hold it back and... You know, having the magnets actually do something rather than just being a funky design for funky design's sake.
And just, you know, turning the screen off and on when you open it.
Which,
it's cool. I like this a lot more than I like the keyboard folio. Yeah,
I really liked it when it went on sale the other day.
Oh, it went on sale, was that today, yesterday? $20.
Yesterday, yeah.
$20.
It looks a lot, I mean, even at $40, it looks a lot nicer than the Nexus 7 cases you could buy for $40 from Google that were kind of complete dumpsters.
I've still got that. I don't think I have it here.
I've got that one that turned my Nexus 7 red.
Oh, I do have it here. There it is. I haven't used my Nexus 7. I guess it's time to give it to my kid and let her use it. What is that on the back of this thing? I don't know if I just tore the case up. Yeah, I mean, I still have always used this.
You know what I still have that I really like is this Dodo case book one that has the bamboo inlay on the inside and all that fancy stuff. That's something that I'll pay extra money for. I think normally the Google Play ones are kind of a bit of a ripoff, but hipster. That one seems like it's a bit better.
You hipster.
Well, we're gonna take a look at some of the other ones that are out there soon.
Yeah, I've got a big box full of them here.
We just got a good email right this second, so let it never be said.
Is it from Ryan or Alex?
No, it is from DWR31, who asks, is Samsung's Adaptive Fast Charging a licensed name for Qualcomm's Quick Charge 2.0? I only ask because I used my Galaxy Note 4's charger on my LG G2 and got amazing results. Battery monitor app usually shows about 1,200 to 1,600 milliamp hours coming through. The 1.8 amp LG charger, but with a Note charger, I see 18 to 3300 regularly, just like on the Note 4. I've been able to
switch. I love that guy.
So we can't get Samsung to actually, I mean, it's part of the deal, right?
If they're back up, Andrew. We've asked this exact same question.
Right. Yeah. We've been debating this internally for a long time and asking Samsung, trying to ask Motorola, because Motorola does quick charging stuff too. The best way to explain it is that it's probably Qualcomm Quick Charge with their own branding on it in both Samsung and Motorola's cases, because you can swap the chargers between the devices and they both work the exact same when you swap the chargers. All that the Quick Charge is a system to accept higher amperage chargers.
Yep.
And so if you take a higher amperage charger that does 9 amps or whatever, and just put it on. It doesn't have to be made by Samsung.
Every electrical engineer in the world just choked and laughed.
That's why I'm just letting him talk and I'm not saying a word.
No, it's,
I don't have it in front.
But you're absolutely right. That's what it is. It's just accepts a little bit stronger input.
Yeah, it's not amps. It's see, I have to look at all these.
It's the voltage.
Nope.
Damn. Mm, see, I should have just stood back here.
See, I don't use it. That's the problem.
No, he's right. It's more power. Amperage, microamps, watts, milliwatts. However you want to measure it, it's more power.
I'm just going to turn around and play some.
There you go. Player. It's all a math equation, but in the end, you can you can take Motorola's turbocharger or Samsung's adaptive fast charger. You can use them interchangeably, and you'll get the same fast charging results. And same thing with anything else, like a G3 or whatever that supports it. Now, it also means where it gets slightly more confusing is you can take a turbocharger and you can plug it into a device that doesn't support Quick Charge 2.0, and you're going to potentially see slightly faster charging because, you know, that charger probably maxes out the phone's safe level of charging, and the included one in the box might not. So the included one in the box might only be a 1-amp charger, but you know, you would see the same results from plugging in a 2.1-amp tablet charger.
Right. And you don't have to, there's, I'm sure, and we don't know how it works. The people that design this don't want to share how it works, and I don't blame them. It's their proprietary deal. But the charger and the phone have to both be the right equipment for it to send this super high power out. It's not going to burn up your phone that's not quick charge compatible. The charger itself is not going to send out current that will fry your phone.
We'll look right now and see if HTC ever started selling theirs. Remember, it was listed for a while.
Yep.
But
so I realized that we didn't actually answer the question. Basically, we don't know whether or not they're actually just rebranding the licensing and licensing the technology from Qualcomm, but considering that they all have Qualcomm chips,
right,
and they all work with interchangeable chargers, that's a pretty safe guess.
And the way that we think it works with Qualcomm Quick Charge, that's done on the chipset itself, and Samsung may have a little bit of input in how future chipsets are designed because they're so big, but that's a Qualcomm thing, not a Samsung thing.
And in terms of Samsung, the other reason why they want to have their own standard and do their own things as well is that they have phones that run their own processors.
Right, too. And if
and they want to be able to offer that too.
Right. If they license the technology, they can use it on their own processors.
Remind me, does the Nexus 9 quick charge?
I don't know.
I don't remember that being made a big deal about, no.
Let me look at all the stuff they sent me.
I don't think it does. I usually just plug mine in at night.
And I would give up Quick Charge 2.0 in a heartbeat just to get Qi on the Moto X and the...
The Nexus 9 does not support Qualcomm Quick Charging.
Yeah.
So go figure.
There's probably a good reason for that. I would think that things are done a little bit differently. It's an entirely new architecture on the chipset.
Not surprising. I just didn't
remember. Right. The next version needs to support some sort of quick charging, but this first version of the ARM 64, I'll give it a pass.
I had a lot of people asking, and Jerry mentioned he kind of wanted to talk about a little bit about OnePlus and in India and Micromax and all that stuff and Cyanogen. And I don't know. I mean, it's... I go back to what Russell said a couple weeks ago, and that's internal, you know, discussions happen all the time. Sometimes things work out, sometimes they don't.
Correct. We have to remember that just because 2 years ago we were chatting in a forum with these guys, that doesn't change the fact that now they are a business and they have to use and adhere to the same rules as people like HTC or Samsung. And I know that's weird when you were chatting with Steve Conduck and he's like, okay, well, just open up the ADB and type this in and you're good to go. Well, he's still that same guy, but now he also has to be a little bit of a businessman and follow some rules. So I see hate to both sides, and that's not fair. This is no different than Samsung, Apple, and HTC all fighting with each other in the United States. It's names we don't aren't as familiar with because it's India, and you know Micromax is huge in India, not so much in the United States. But this is just a business thing. They'll sort it all out.
And that's the other reason I kind of hesitate to go anywhere near that is I don't know the Indian market at all.
I have seen so much hate for Cyanogen Mod Incorporated because of this Micromax thing. And that's I think a lot of that's unfounded. This is a business decision. These guys need to make money. This is how they feed their family. And it's no longer are they just some cool hacker that's up at 2 o'clock in the morning talking to you in IRC.
I can't remember the last time I flashed anything weird. Not weird, but unofficial. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's been a long time.
But we almost don't have to anymore.
I really don't. I mean, I just don't. And that's not to say I like everything that comes out. There's stuff in Sense I don't like. God, I went back and used the G3 for a week. And God, you know what I want? I really want like a return to some sort of glass or metal or something. I really want to see some different hardware this year.
Dude. Out of LG. You should have picked up a proper Z3 this year.
I know. There was still something about it. I mean, I used a T-Mobile one, and that was really close, if not dead on, right?
It's a little lackluster in the way it's shaped.
Yeah.
And stuff, but you got a real premium feel if you don't drop it and break the back glass.
And that thing, you know, the camera on that thing was just really nice.
It's enough to even make me think that smartphone cameras are better than I give them credit for, and I hate smartphone cameras.
A lot, you know, I wish I could use an iPhone, but I can't for any number of reasons, but, you know, you have to be envious of the camera. So, yeah, I mean, maybe Sony will change things up again. I hope so. It'd be really cool to see that.
Well, I think Sony does a lot of the same things Apple does, is you use good enough hardware, but it's your software. You
right.
Just throw money in it. And that's what Apple does, and it works. And that's what Sony is doing, and it works. And that's what Samsung's doing now. Everything I've heard about the Note 4 camera tells me it's every bit as good as the camera on the Z3, which means that it's almost as good in every situation as the iPhone camera.
I just sent Jerry my Note 4, and I'm a little sad about that.
Ah, mine. I'm going to touch it so nobody can claim it. I'm going to lick it.
I don't want something quite that big. Like Andrew chimed in on that I think yesterday too. I want no specs in a GS5 body.
And no, the Galaxy Alpha is not the answer to that.
Mm-mm. No, sorry.
And I said, well, you know, I'm sure that we'll get closer to that in the next year.
Well, I want somebody somewhere to look at what Sony did with the Z3. They made a big one. They made a small one. Both of them are top of the line. Very fast, premium devices, but I want one that's a little bit closer to stock Android. So I'm thinking Motorola needs to jump in here and do something.
For as happy as I am with Motorola, and I really am, I was thinking about it this morning, actually, because I've got the little earbud thing sitting in my cup holder in my car in the way.
Yeah.
And I think about how much that was sold as this, you know, revolutionary Bluetooth thing that you're going to want to wear all the time, and then you get it, and it's just like, all right, it's another Bluetooth earpiece. It looks cool, and that's good, but it didn't change a thing.
No, I mean, I think they had the right idea. It just didn't get accepted as well as they thought it would.
Because at the end of the day, it's still a Bluetooth earpiece.
Right.
It's, you know, but it was the same for the, you know, camera discussion the year before, and a little bit this year, but not quite as much. For as good as everything else, it makes the disappointing things that much more disappointing, I think.
But I'm glad that we have a choice between all these different things, but I do agree the choice on the small end is getting a little thin.
Yeah. I know HTC is really excited about what they're doing next year, and I don't know what they're doing next year.
But I'll bet it's 5.5 inches at least.
Well, you know, let's hope it's 5.5 inches. Actually, it's going to be really interesting to see them because, and I don't have one of the phones here, but you're going from speakers that look like this to just little tiny slivers that actually look more like the plastic inserts there.
I want another M7. was that not the best built phone you've ever touched in your life?
Yeah, I've got it over here.
We've got two of them. I like it so much.
I just pick it up to, you know, charge it up again to check for updates and stuff. It's just so much easier to hold than the M8 was. That was the most disappointing thing to me about the M8 was just...
I liked it so much I wouldn't let my wife use it, so she bought one of her own from T-Mobile. And it's just... I don't know. I don't know what it is. But that phone, all metal, all one piece, that was just... I would love to see everybody do something like that.
I want to see a return to the weird crystal reflective process they did.
Sure.
That came and that died so quickly. I don't know what happened.
The Nexus 4 is still one of the prettiest Android devices ever made.
Yep.
And that would mean the same thing goes for the Optimus G.
What else? Who are we missing?
Samsung, you know what? We can't talk this kind of discussion without talking about the Alpha.
Mm-hmm.
That is a beautiful little phone.
Andrew didn't like it.
It's just a shame that the inside's kind of
right. Internal's kinda it's a Galaxy S old in a beautiful body, and that sucks. And guys, you know, if Sony can get around that, so can Samsung. I guess they just don't think the money's there. I don't know.
Yeah, the issue is that they will make the range of six different devices to go from 6.5 inches down to 4 inches, and they all look the same. But they're completely different inside. And that's Sony at least gets it with two sizes, where they're the same inside.
I think it's a good place to call it. Nice, easy podcast. Semi-easy podcast. Podcast that was not too difficult.
There you go. That'll be the title right there.
We will have one next week. I promise. It will happen. I think it'll happen. Is it happening?
It is now. You done promised.
I'm not sure. Sure. Now we're doing one.
This is news to me, but just let me know ahead of time.
Whoa. What's going on? Oh.
Doo-doo.
Motorola phone ringing.
I have people who occasionally call phone numbers they shouldn't be calling. Like, they still have my SIM number, which I haven't used in I don't know how long.
You sent me a text on that once. I have it.
Well, that's true. That's my grandfather calling me.
I put it on every truck stop restroom wall between here and Nokomis, Florida.
So, I guess we will do some sort of podcast next week. We'll figure it out. I'll let you know. Until then, we're also brought to you by ShopAndroid.com. By all the things we've got, we're about to do a bunch more Note 4.
You have, we have Note 4 wireless charging back and wireless charging S View cover that I'm going to get and take a look at, but they are there.
Cool.
We've been waiting for those for a long time. Yep.
So if you've got questions about things, we will be looking at the things.
I love it. Samsung gets it right with accessories. They make them. Let's, get on that SVU charger, Andrew, or charger and cover, Andrew. I'm curious.
You'll have one now, so we can send it to you too.
Well, no, I just want to read yours before I decide if I want one.
And you usually don't have to wait for them either, right? Go find us on all the social things: Google+, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. Search for us. Fuss while you search.
We like to fuss about things, too.
Yeah, we kind of did today.
No, because we love it.
Yes.
We expect perfection, and we fuss until we get perfection. That means we get to fuss forever, because nothing's ever perfect.
We don't get complacent, that's for sure.
True. All right, Jerry, Andrew, thank you, guys.
Phil, you're welcome.
Thank you, Phil.
Thank you.
Everybody listening at home, thank you. Hope everybody has a good Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. What am I forgetting?
Happy holidays.
Festivus.
Happy, man. And if you try to start a fight with me on Twitter or something and about why Android Central says happy holidays, just don't.
Where's your Festivus poll?
Yes. I need a Festivus poll. I'll use my
link. I will go on record. I love you no matter what you celebrate, guys.
Yes.
All of you.
And I'm absolutely jealous of all the holiday food I see this time of year. Oh, my God. It all looks so good. All right, that's it. We will come at you with something next week. Somehow.
Sort of. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Adios.
guys are so not ready. So not ready. So unprofessional.
Yeah.
My beard, however, looks very professional.
I have an excuse because I was having other technical difficulties. Jerry has no excuse.
That's true.
I got an excuse. You don't want to hear it.
No, I don't.